and welcome to No Show. We are so glad that you decided to join us this evening. And the music of my dear friend, Al Lockett, friend that we meet along the way. Very appropriate for this evening's discussion. And thank you so much for taking time from your busy, busy schedules, your preparation for tomorrow's Thanksgiving dinner, for having everybody come over and come by and go out and do things. And we're excited that you're going to have that opportunity. Our guest this evening, Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa, almost did not get to have that happen many more times on this side of the curtain of life. And she's going to tell you about that and tell you how it is that life just came about in wonder-filled ways to make things where they needed to be for her and who it is that she is, a strong, stalwart soldier of spirit. Someone who understands what spirit is all about. And my dear friend, Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa, has been broken literally with over 78 broken, fractured bones in her body, including her neck, which was being held together physically only by ligaments, tendons, and a few muscles instead of cervical vertebrae, those bones that hold our necks together as our skin surrounds all of that. She and her friend Michelle and my friend Michelle were shattered and impacted from a direct impact of an SUV that ran headlong into the Chrysler Spitfire two-seater that they were in, and both of them were very, very, very seriously hurt, but Diane took the brunt of that, and she is yet here with us. She is a woman whose spirit and faith was so strong that it brought her back from death's door and into the light of healing, wholeness, forgiveness, and joy. We're going to talk about all of those things tonight. We're going to talk about how it is that she was able to move from being at death's door with one foot already across, if you will, to actually being right here, right now, where she is, with us. Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa, good evening, my friend, and how are you?
I'm Robert. Good evening. How are you? I'm wonderful.
Yes, you are, and I'm so glad that you are here with us. We want to talk about this fabulous book that you have written, and you've been kind enough to ask for contributions from several folks, and I am one of those who was pleased to be by your side during that time, and we'll share with people, as truth would have it, that I was supposed to have been with you all, with you and Michelle that night, but at the last moment said, no, guys, you all go ahead. I'm just not feeling it tonight, and so you all had gone ahead, and that was part of what happened. Tell us about the book. Tell us the name of the book. Why it is that you felt the urgency and the need to write it, and what has come out of it for you and this what we called horrific experience, but that has been turned around. That question mark has been straightened into an exclamation point. So, Diane, tell us the name of the book, how you came up with that, and what it's all about.
The title of the book is Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine. And the reason I came up with, when I was in the hospital, I spent over 7.5 months in the hospital, 1 month in shock trauma and 6.5 months in rehab hospitals, learning to basically walk again and take care of myself and take care of my basic needs. So I spent a lot of downtime, which I had a lot of downtime. Once they got me up and my mobility was a wheelchair, and so I had an opportunity to interact with a lot of patients. who are also rehabilitating from many different accidents, from gunshot wounds, from strokes, all kinds of medical issues. And one of the things I saw is that they always asked us about our pain scores, zero being no pain, 10 being about to pass out from pain. And they asked their questions in the morning when you got up, before you took your pain meds, before you went to physical therapy, when you came back at lunch, at night before you went to bed. You always asked their question. But one of the things that I saw, because and I felt and I heard and I observed that people were not just struggling with the pain that Dilaudid or Oxycodone or Tylenol or Motrin could help or could heal or to make them whole or better. They were struggling spiritually. A lot of them didn't have visitors. A lot of them didn't have friends or family members because they had problems or situations or had abused their family members with that repeated going back to the hospital, not taking care of themselves with drug abuse or whatever they were struggling with. That they were struggling spiritually, and it was never addressed, nor was it never assessed, nor was it ever treated, nor was it ever to get better because nothing was done about it. And so, you know, they were chronic, spiritually distressed people, spiritually starved people, and spiritually I know that could be healed and be made whole, but it needs to be addressed just as well as the fractured bones that they were addressing with my neck to my feet. They were fractured spirits that need to be addressed. And so I saw people struggling. One young lady, she had similar injuries. I figured she had obviously been a car accident, but I didn't ask people what happened to them because who I am and what's inside of me, people came and told me which I want, whether I asked them or not. And this one particular young lady, she's 25 years old, was her birthday, and she had a birthday party for herself. She invited everybody to her birthday, including her dad, who worked right across the street from her job, who has never been to a job to visit her. She invited him. Her mom was passed when she was 12 or 13 from HIV/AIDS. And so her birthday party started, and no one showed up. So she walked out of her apartment to a bridge overpass, and she decided to climb on the other side and jump. But she, you know, she realized people didn't care about her, and no one loved her. So when she was getting ready to jump, someone called out and asked her not to jump. And then she said she heard several people asking her not to jump. She realized that people cared about her, even though she wasn't sure who was calling for her. But she was physically engaged. She couldn't get back over. But she was spiritually, she didn't want to jump. She didn't want to die anymore, but she was physically compromised. And so she started falling. But she asked, she said she put her hands together and asked God to let her live. And so she lived with similar injuries as mine, her back and her neck and her ankles and legs were broken, fractured. But when I was there, she was okay. Like the first few weeks or something, I was talking to her, but she became more angry and more, you know, spiritually distressed again. And she started giving the nurses and the clinicians there, you know, just a lot of thinking. Mm-hmm. She still needs to, her spirit needs to be addressed. You know, she's heartbroken. And they never addressed it. So that was one of the patients. There was many patients with similar things that, similar spiritual distress signals that I saw, but no one ever addressed them. They just gave them pain relief medicine, physical pain. So that's why I wrote the book. And so my vision, teachable moments for spirituality and medicine, my vision for it to teach teachable moments become teachable, becomes a movement. And the movement is a wholeness movement where the hospitals teach, they treat the physical pain. The churches and the spiritual faith-based houses, they teach the spiritual pain, hopefully. So we will get these houses to treat the whole patient, the whole person, to get people whole, and that we'll have a great harvest, that we have whole people. So that's my vision for, that's my reason for writing and my vision for this book and hopefully a movement to make people whole, to get people whole.
Absolutely. And the word and the term holistic means all-inclusive, all parts of who it is that we are. And you're exactly right in so much as I know the medical profession because, of course, I was a special procedures X-ray tech for a number of years, trained by the United States Air Force, and then got out of that and worked at the VA hospitals and what have you. And you're right. We, those of us who are medics, we want to do that to get the person back on their feet. But what we don't know is whether or not they are ready to stand on their feet and be supported and undergirded by the spirit that is within them. Is their spirit broken? And when their spirits are broken, then you need to do what you are saying in your beautiful book, Diane, Spirituality and Medicine. You want to treat the whole person or treat holistically. I want to bring Carrie Kelly in here a moment and let her share with us what her thoughts are relative to this experience, because she too has been through some traumatic experiences and can relate, I'm sure, to some of the things that Diane is saying. Is that right, Carrie?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. I really have felt encouraged by your body of work. This book is beautiful.
Thank you.
I love the fact that you have suggestions for the actual teachable moments, and there's action, you know, actionable items there for people to do, to take action on. That is something that's very unusual coming from someone who isn't a medical certified person. Like, you're not an actual doctor, but you use your experience and your knowledge to contribute to the medical profession as well as the spiritual profession. What I love about this is that it's information that a caregiver could possibly employ. I have my mother-in-law and a few of my family members have health challenges, but the information that came to me as I read through your material about people who will give their caregivers the, you know, difficulties and just really be a challenge, have broken spirits. And the fact that there is tools in this book for people to actually address that area. Now, how does one know when they have reached their level of expertise in terms of addressing the spiritual level? Because, you know, when you start asking questions or, you know, and you start to get the picture of what's going on spiritually with someone, you may have to find another person that has more expertise. Do you know how we draw that line there?
Well, you know, I was basically, that's my next step, I think, is my next book. I think that one of the things that I was talking to a friend of mine tonight, she teaches at the University of Maryland Hospital, and I was telling her about, we were talking about the book, and she said, Diane, you know, your next book is a workbook. And I said, yeah, the workbook. God has challenged me to talk to healthcare, well, to health faith-based community about, don't start any more outreach centers. Start wholeness centers. And when people came into the wholeness center, it would work just like a hospital, that you would be intake, you would take information from that person who comes in, and the person would be triaged, either is it an emergency, is it trauma, or is it drama, and how are we going to address it, and then what team of people do we need if it's in if the churches or faith-based organizations started, their teams, their people already or ministries already in churches that deal with issues. You know, if someone was getting ready to lose their home, there are people there already in the church who are lawyers, who are bankers, who are mortgagers, who does budgeting, who works in the bank. If there's caregiving issues, I just went to a caregiving seminar this past weekend. A lot of caregivers, they are struggling physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and also the people they're caring for. But right in almost every faith-based organization, there are social workers, there are psychologists, they are gerontologists, but we're not using people's expertise in our own organization. So when you come into our wholeness centers, not our outreach centers anymore, we will triage, we will intake you, we will find out what your basic complaint or need or issue is. We will have a wholeness team to work with you to get you through, get you to wholeness and get you through wholeness. So I think that the book opens itself up to the next step. And the next step is what you're saying. It's all of us in the future, all us baby boomers, may become caregivers in the future. But when I was in the hospital, I had people who cared for me, and I didn't realize that how much it took for them to care for me until I went to a caregiver conference with one of my friends who needed continuing education units for a social work license. And so people, it takes energy to care for people. I just met with a woman, a good friend last night, who's caring for her Alzheimer's mother, and she was like, Diane, I'm going to go to Charlotte. This is my 2 weeks. Give me strength. And so I know, I don't understand about caregiving because I didn't have to do it, but someone cared for me when I was in the hospital. And I watched my friends who care for their parents, a lot of them with Alzheimer's, and it's hard work. And so I think that this book will open itself up to creating these wholeness centers across the nation, across the world, so we can get each other whole and keep each other whole, because once you get whole, you know you can be fragmented in next week. So you have to, it's an ongoing thing. So I think that, but if you can do something right now where you are, get people around you who can help you with caregiving, with your spirituality, with your spiritualness in caregiving, because that's, it's draining. And, you know, we don't have to wait for the wholeness center. Just get people that you can think they're right in your community, in your faith-based community, in your work community, in your neighborhood that can help you. Don't try to do it alone, because I think that's when you become fractured and you know, you get wore out.
Absolutely. One of the things I'd also like for you to address, Diane, which I think is extremely important and was one of the ways that you were able to make it through all of the challenges that were there, not only challenges in terms of all of the broken parts of your body, but challenges with the financial part, because now that is happening, you are no longer a contributing member, quote-unquote, to society, so therefore your paycheck is impacted, and now what do we do in terms of that? But even before we get to that, I'd like for you to talk to the fact that you had a cadre of people around you in what my kids call the olden days. You know, we would say that you had prayer warriors with you, if you will. Talk about how it was for you having your network of people that then at your moment of need rallied the troops and then supported you as they did, from Tish Franklin to on and on and on. But talk about how it was that you built that network of people long before this accident happened.
Wow. I think that when I was in the hospital, when I got to the rehab center, a lot of the patients, when I came downstairs for physical therapy, or some of the even the clinicians, the nurses and the nurses' assistants, they would ask me, like, are you a first lady of a church or like a missionary or something? So I was always wondering, why do you keep asking that? So once they got me in a wheelchair and I became mobile, I understood that I had a lot of people visiting me. I assumed that everyone had that. I don't know why I was assuming that. But the people who ask me the most were men. You know, who are you? Who are all these people? And what do you do to get all these people? And I was, you know, I get that question a lot. And so I told them one night, so we used to have our little powwow sessions at night in our wheelchairs outside. And I would tell them that once you leave this hospital and you're back on your feet, go join something, a church or organization, a book club, a reading club, or you know, card party. Join something. If it's every Tuesday at 7, go every Tuesday. Not 1 month, not 2 months, not 1 year, not 2 years. Go every year for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years. The people you see are the people who I belong to book clubs and churches, and when they couldn't pick their kids up from the babysitter, that I picked them up from the babysitter. When the little kids made A's, I took them to Chuck E. Cheese. And I didn't do it 1 year. I didn't do it 2 years. I did it for years. So you have to invest in people. It's like putting money in the bank. You can't go to the bank and get money out if you don't put any money in the bank. But if you put money in the bank, you can go and make a withdrawal. So these are people that I had made a deposit. And now they are, I can take a withdrawal. I don't have to even ask them. They just come and bring more money and put it in the bank. And so those are the people, churches I belong to, organizations I belong to, friends. So it was, one of the times when I woke up in shock trauma, I don't know, it was early in shock trauma, I woke up and I wanted to turn in the bed, and I couldn't turn anymore. And I didn't know if I was paralyzed. I didn't know what was going on because I was in and out of consciousness a lot. And so, but I knew I was that badly hurt, and I knew also I was in a whole lot of pain, and I knew I had a long way to go. So I said, oh, and I was tired before I even had the accident. You know, I was exhausted with life, but, you know, I kept on going. I was exhausted. I was just trying to figure out life. And so I said, God, I have been to a few Star 5 and Star 4 resorts, and he said that he has paradise. So I said, God, I'm ready if it's your will, if it's in your favor. I'm ready for paradise. And he said, Diane, people are praying for you. And all of a sudden, like a slide presentation, I saw so many people driving their cars to work, crying, praying for me out loud in their cars, people in the bathrooms getting dressed, praying and crying, asking God to help me and help me. People in groups holding hands, praying, asking God. Some of my friends were lying on the floor in their bedrooms, prostrate, asking God for to let me live. And it got to be so many people, and I didn't even know the people anymore. And I was like, God, my network is bigger than Verizon. So I woke up, and I woke up and told, my cousin had told me that she had gotten a prepaid phone for me because they couldn't find my phone in the wreckage. And so and she had programmed some numbers in for me. And so I told the nurse to hand the phone and push Tish. And Tish is one of my good friends who was one of my caretakers in all my prayer warriors. She was one of the people I saw praying. And I told Tish, and she was like kind of confused. I was called, I think, as out of surgery. I was unconscious or something a few days ago. I said, it's me. I said, tell people to start praying that I make it. I'm going to make it. Tell them to pray that I'm restored. And so people, it's good. And like I told Robert this after I got the hospital, when I was in the hospital. He said he called and looked at every network he knew to pray for me. So it was just these people, these organizations, telling other organizations, they put it on Facebook. So that's why, you know, prayer works. That's all I can say. And also, shock trauma has some of the, it's excellent, excellence in surgery, excellence in healthcare, excellence in bedside manner, excellence in everything that they do. I felt excellence at that place. The people were very smart, very caring. and just excellent. I've researched one of the physicians that did my hip and ankles and legs. He was the top of his class at the Air Force Academy. Dr. LeBron was top of his class at the NIH Air Force, top surgeon in Afghanistan. He's one of the best surgeons in the world in orthopedic and traumatic surgery. The physician who did my neck, put my head back on my neck when he showed me the x-rays. I have two bolts and two large rods holding my neck on my head. I said, thank you. First of all, I didn't really want to see the x-ray, but he wanted me to see his great work. And I said, okay, thank you so much for putting my head back on my neck. And he said, oh, it was nothing. I said, oh, it was something to me. Thank you so much. And he was he's the top, in 2010, the year I had my accident, he was the top spinal surgeon in Maryland. Excellent. So not only did I have an excellent prayer team, I had an excellent caregiving team. And then when they put me over to USH, I had an excellent physical therapy. Physical therapy is everything from the waist down. That's Sabrina Owens and her crew. Occupational is everything from the waist up. My arm was broken, so it was dead. But when I can do anything with my arm now. That was another Laura Cox and her team. And then I had recreational therapy, so to get me back playing pool and getting on the computer and looking at books. So it was my prayer team, my family, my friendly. Robert bought me a smartphone and had all the songs. I don't know how the guy baked the cookies from my emails, got on my phone from YouTube, and I had all this great music. Music also was therapy. So it was not just, it was a lot. You know, like God is a God of specificity, and it's a big thing. It was a big thing to get me back. It took a lot, and it's a lot of people and a lot of love and a lot of caring and great health care and just and great physical therapy and occupational and recreational and also great faith, and I believe that God could do this.
That's right.
And he did it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. We believe that faith is,
yes,
in fact, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things,
yes,
unseen. And whenever it is that we are at that point where we can't see physically, spiritually, mentally, or emotionally, then the only thing that we can hold on to, as you did, Diane, is our faith, is that which is not seen, but yet we just know. We don't even know how to explain it to anybody. We just know, and we know that we know. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking about teachable moments, spirituality and medicine, with my dear friend Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa in Washington, D.C., who was in Maryland for some time, almost 7 months, in and out of various hospitals, various traction devices, in order to have things set in the way that they needed to be, went through extreme amounts of pain just in order to be with us today, this evening, tonight, live and in living color. The book, again, is Teachable Moments by Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa, Spirituality and Medicine. And from the perspective of how can the two come together and work together. And as you know, ladies and gentlemen, those of you who have been listening to this show, we have phenomenal physicians like Dr. Elaine Ferguson, who has been on a number of times and also knows Diane and was one of the persons that has been extremely helpful to me in helping me to share from the physician side how it is that people then look at things. But, Diane, one of the things I wanted to say, and I want to get your feedback and Carrie's feedback, is the term that I always use is that there are no accidents in life, that there is serendipity, synchronicity, and spirituality. And so you had been preparing yourself through bringing all of these various disparate pools of people together. You brought folks together, friends of yours that I didn't know to come to my meditation class. And so we were all sitting there together, and though our faith walk was not the same, everybody found something that they could get from it. All of that was then leading up to what happened with you, and all of us were able to come together and know each other in such a way that we could support you. Carrie, I know from having read your book as well that you've had some of those types of experiences as well. And what is it that Diane is saying that comes to the forefront of your mind relative to this?
What I am really connected to here is the inward, that inward strength, that inward spirit that knows things beyond explanation, that will be that strength when you don't have it physically. That the part when she says spiritual muscle, I want to have spiritual muscle. And the thing about having spiritual muscle is sometimes you have a spotter. You know, like when you're going to lift weights, you have a spotter there. So, like, when your spirit isn't able to carry and hoist that whole weight by itself, you have your spotters around you. And I like when she talked about what, when you put in the bank, you can make a withdrawal. You know, the people the people around us that we have helped, the part where she talks about, where you talk about you were a caregiver, you were always giving advice, and you were charged with caring for your brother, although he was the oldest. And, you know, the people were going to send you home from the facility when you were not able to take care of yourself, and you were able to call somebody who told you your lane is to stay there and get better, and my lane is to, you know, make sure they don't send you home until you get all the care that you need. I mean, that these things are just beautiful. Those are just beautiful. And it's like, you know, we are always taken care of by our loving Father, and that being in his top pocket, oh my goodness, that just, that did it for me. I mean, all over this book, I see my life, I see ways for me to, you know, just like grow and continue to connect and not give up, and, you know, I'm just so encouraged by this.
Thank you so much.
Carrie, before you leave that, Carrie, because our listening audience doesn't have the benefit that you did, many of them have not ordered the book, although they are right now typing in to Amazon.com to get this phenomenal book, Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine by Diane Wilson-Omuchekwa. Share what you were meaning when you said in your pocket, because they don't know. Tell them about it.
Well, when I was in the trauma center, I woke up one time and I was, oh my God, I was not in pain, which was rare, but I was so uncomfortable. I was so uncomfortable. And my friend Tish, and I was telling her that I was uncomfortable. She said, Diane, at this point, they had finished your neck, so they had your neck kind of on a pillow on the bed, but they had your body in traction. Your legs were high in the air off the bed, so because they didn't want your legs and hips and stuff to settle before, because once they put you in the bed, your body had started healing, so they had you in traction in the air. They had you pulled up in the air, and your arm was pulled in the air. And so I said, oh, so I was saying, God, I can't do this. I'm so uncomfortable. I can't do this uncomfortableness. And so, but I'm not in pain. So I said, God, please make me comfortable. And he said, Diane, I've been asking you for years to come closer, but you won't come closer. And I said, oh, can we not discuss this? I don't have, you know, I just wanted to not to be.
Not now,
come
God.
On, stop playing. And so So all of a sudden, in my vision, I was a little kid, like an 18-month-old, like a little baby, 15 or 18 months, and I could stay in. I was at his leg. And he put me in his, he picked me up like a dad and put me in his lap and held me and comforted me. But he held this gigantic, he held this garment with pockets in it. And some of the pockets were people. And so he picked me up and stuck me in one of the pockets, in one of the top pockets, not on the side of his heart, but the other side. And every time that I thought I could make it, that I remember that I was in his pocket.
In the pocket of God. Wow. Wow. That's awesome. And that's the importance of your sharing that, because, and I appreciate, Carrie, that you brought that up, but I wanted for people to have a point of reference with that, because that is such an awesome and timely story. And we need those types of things because you had a lot more of those challenges to still go through, Diane. And so I imagine, not imagine, I was there. So I know that what you did was to call upon when none of us were around and none of the folks that were working with you were around, you had to call upon that inward force, that spirit that was within you. And so stories like that, I am understanding you to say that's what helped you to make it through.
And that's what kind of prompted me to write the book. A lot of people thought I was going to write a book. I was in the hospital. So one of my friends sent me a voice recorder. A fish brought me a computer. And you don't realize how hard a laptop is to use. You didn't realize, I didn't realize how many neck muscles and shoulder muscles and arm muscles. I was like, I could not really sit and write. But I didn't want to tell people. I can't even sit up, really. I can't even really feed myself with all the struggles. So to be on, but I still tried, even though I never told Tish I can't use that laptop. I tried because I realized it was therapy. I couldn't write a book. And then my husband's brother came, and I was telling him about some of these experiences. He said, now you need to write a book. He said, what I'm going to do, I see you have a laptop, I'm going to send you the software. My son is going to bring the software so you can put on these headphones and you can talk into the book. And
wow.
You can talk the book. And I was like, okay. So, you know, I didn't write, like, I wrote like a sentence. And so when I came home, I remember going to chapel at Howard University, and Tish came to visit me, and one of my friends who also works at the chapel staff there, she said, Diane, tell Dean Richardson who Tish is. I was telling Dean Richardson that one time Tish came into my room and I was in so much pain and sharp trauma that I couldn't. I told Tish, I can't do it anymore. I can't do this. And so, and then I looked at my arm. My arm was really swollen and I was struggling. I was past 10. I don't know where I was in the pain chart. And Tish said, let me talk to the people, see what's going on, why are you in so much pain? And she said, Diane, what is happening? Because you are something called a virgin with drugs. You're not used, your body's not used to all these drugs on board. Your kidneys are failing. And so what they're doing, they're titrating you off the drugs, especially the pain drugs, to see can they get your kidney function back up. And so I was like, I don't know if I can do it, though. It's too much. Pain was so, it was intense. And so Tish said, Diane, first of all, she cleared the room. She said, everybody who just get out of the room. She don't need any visitors. And two of my friends were visiting. She said, get out of the room. She don't need any visitors. She said, Diane, you got to get through this. And I said, I don't know how to do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. And she said, go to that place in your, go to that place that you hide from pain. And I was telling Dean Richardson that she knew I had that place already. And she, that's the type of friends that we are. She knew I already had that place in my spirit that I go to hide from life's pain. But everywhere I went before I got there, pain was already there. And I was telling Tish, I can't find it anymore. And so Dean Richardson said, Diane, are you writing this down? Because you need to write a book. So, of course, I didn't write a book. I came home one day after, months after, and I came home and with my special plate of whatever from a carryout in one of the greatest restaurants in D.C. because I'm a foodie. I had my remote. I got in bed. I got put my, as Michelle said, we put our plate on our chest and we watched TV. And my TV wouldn't work. And so I said, oh, my God, Dad, my TV's not working. Everything is right, the food, the bed, but not the TV. And I tried it again, and I had to get up and put the food in. I'm almost losing my appetite, like, really, my TV's not working. So I worked on the TV. And since I had this accident, when things like that happen to me now, I know God is trying to get my attention. I don't have to get another head-on collision. So I said, okay, what's going on? What's going on? I'm ready. What's up? He said, American idols have won their idols. Even NeNe is rich from the American Housewives. He said people are doing their reality shows with nonsense, getting what they're supposed to be getting. What are you doing? I poured all this stuff into you. I have let you live through this accident. You know who I am. You know that I am real. So why aren't you writing the book? So... From November to April, I didn't watch TV. I got up in the morning. I went to the gym. I cut the cable off in the house. It's cut off now because I think I'll be writing the second book. I just got to get my mind around it. And I started. I worked out. I researched because I wanted to find out what the medical profession was saying about spirituality and medicine. And I wrote, and I came home and ate dinner, and I wrote more, and I got up and did the same thing from November to April. So that's how the book got written, and that's why I think that one of my friends said that a couple of people have been telling me, like this, you were saying that this spirit, and they said the Holy Spirit wrote this book, and I was thinking, wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. That, but I think that the spirit had to write it, because that's why he wanted me not with outside forces like television and that stimuli, that media stimuli to keep you not focused.
And the interesting thing, Diane, is that what I hear you saying to people is that whatever you are going through, and you think that something is being taken away from you, but spirit is trying to give something to you, but spirit can't get through. If the television sets are on, if roller derby is kicking around, if you're trying to figure out who shot John and up and down and when, and watching whatever the latest thing is to watch about somebody doing something that they shouldn't be doing, spirit cannot get through to you. So whatever it is that you are going through, it is there for a reason, and it is up to you to figure that out. But once you turn off some of that other stuff, then you can tune in to spiritual awareness. That's what we call it, spiritual awareness. And then through that, you will know what it is that is yours to do. Diane, I want for you to stand by for just a moment. And Carrie, please stand by for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we are so appreciative that you decided to stop by here to visit with us on the No Show Dial. We are here every Wednesday. Now, we need for you to know that on the 23rd and the 30th of December, Carrie and I will not be here. We will be having wonderful opportunities to visit with our families and other people, but we will have a show for you. We're going to do a couple of reruns. So I want to hear from you what the reruns are that you want for us to put in on the 23rd and the 30th of December, all right? You all know what's going on around there, right? What's happening right in between. That's right, Christmas. So please go ahead and send me a note to robtmcm@aol.com relative to that experience, and we will make certain that we get it up for you and that we have exactly what it is that you want. On December 2nd, we will have Stefan Skajari coming back with us, Mr. Jazz Man himself, over there in Maryland, not far from where Diane is. And then on December 9th, we'll go down south again, down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, for Reverend Larry Marie Heil. She is a religious science minister, and she'll be visiting with us then. On December 16th, we'll have Miss Gail Miss Gail has a diner here in Little Rock, Arkansas. And one of the things that if you don't know it, you will certainly know it, that Diane and I love to do is to eat. Carrie and I love to do it is to eat. Any of my friends, that's one of the requirements. You have to appreciate and value good food. Well, this lady has a fabulous little diner right here in the heart of North Little Rock, Arkansas. And so we're going to visit with her about all of the things that she's doing. And it's a little diner. It's just like we used to see on television, a malt shop setup type of thing. And we're going to get to visit with her about that. And then on the 23rd and the 30th, what's going to happen? You are going to tell us who it is that you want to hear from last year, this year, or the year before. Any of the 3 years that we've been doing this for you, we want to know who is it that you want to hear. And then, of course, we'll start the brand new year with a brand new you. As a little affirmation I wrote, it says, I am a brand new me. I've written a new script. I now act a new part. I am a brand new me. So all of us will be brand new in 2016. But you can be brand new. You can start the process by picking up this phenomenal book that our friend is sharing with you, and it's called Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine by Diane Wilson-Onwuchekwa. And you don't even have to say all of that. You can just say Diane, Teachable Moments, okay? That's the way they have things set up now, and they can pull it up for you and get it right to you. Diane, how much is the book on Amazon and all of that? Do you have those numbers yet?
The book is not officially released to Amazon until January 5th from the publisher. Well, but if you go on, if you type, which you just said, Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine, Diane, my publisher is Tate Publishing Company. It's a Christian publishing company out of Oklahoma. And you can buy it from them for $10.99. And on January the 5th, it'll be on Amazon. Then it'll be released through all the major distributors. But right now,
through all the channels,
this is the pre-launch phase, and so the official launch date is January the 5th.
Excellent. So Carrie and I are honored and pleased that you decided to afford this opportunity for us to help you, to help people, by having them to understand that whatever it is that they're going through, they're not going through it alone, and that these are teachable moments, but that we learn that which we need to learn by doing. And so what we sometimes have to do is to stop in order to then turn around and see. Okay, I want to come back to this phenomenal book, Teachable Moments. Diane, tell us again if there are certain parts of the book that you would like to highlight now.
Oh, I think that one of the things that when I was in shock trauma, that I didn't put this. When you write books, some things get edited. But one of the things that I remember that I was in so much pain in shock trauma, and I used to be a pharmaceutical rep, and I know that in that type of level of therapy, you can be pain free. And so I remember one time they set me up, and I was in so much pain, I started singing this little ditty that I wrote in my mind. I started singing, Lord, how could I be in so much pain in such a place but have all this good pain medicine? And so I kept singing it, and they came and just started staring at me like, what are you doing? And so one time I woke up, and I was intubated a lot because I was going through a lot of surgery. So the intubations too was, and this time I was not playing. This time I really realized I'm in trouble. Let me stop. You know, I have a sense of humor shot. So this time I was really wanting God to come and tell me I'm going to be okay. And so I started singing Something Within Me. It's an old song written by a lady. I did the research on the song once I started writing the book. It was written by a woman that was the queen of gospel writing. Her name is Lucy Campbell, and she's from Memphis. The song was written in Memphis, Tennessee, like in the 1890s or early 1900s. And she was in Memphis, and she was walking down the street, and this old man from the money, this old African-American man was singing money, songs for money, and he was singing Christian songs. And he was on Bill Street. And this white man walked by and said, oh, buddy, I'd give you money if you would sing a blues song. And he said to the white man, there's something within me will now allow me to only worship God with song. And she wrote, she came back and penned this song, Something Within Me That Holdeth the Rain, Something Within Me That Banishes Pain, Something Within Me I Cannot Explain. All I can say, there is something within. And I heard this song for the first time years ago in Columbia. My church had Morgan State Choir singing. It was the main part was singing by a duet, a man and a woman, and they were singing this. And I had never heard this song, first of all. Then I realized there was something inside of me that holdeth the rain, and there was something inside of me that banishes pain. And I said, that's what, so is this something inside? And so I was dealing with that song and listening to the words, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm about to explode in this church, and I don't know what to do. I was just fighting the song, and I surrendered to the song. And that song made me feel so, it birthed something in me. But it was no, you know, I didn't run around the church. I didn't jump up. It was just, I sat there quietly and dealt with this something within. And so I started singing that song in the trauma center. And the nurse came and said, are you okay? Are you singing in sorrow today, or are you singing in joy? And I told her, I'm worshiping God.
Yeah.
And
yeah, so, that's right.
Yes. I'm worshiping.
That's right. That's right, worshiping God. On page 56, I think, Diane, it is that you say, as a person who spent over 7 months in hospitals and rehabilitation centers, I can speak personally of the importance of spiritual care to my recovery. The practice of art, this is what Sir William Osler said, the practice of medicine is an art, not a business, a calling in which your heart will be exercised equally with your head. And so I assume that Dr. Osler was actually sharing that with the members of the healing modality so that they would understand what the importance of their work is. You also mentioned, Diane, that there was a nurse, and maybe this was when you were airlifted or right before you were airlifted to Baltimore to shock trauma, but there was a point where a nurse said to you, you will live, you are going
yes.
to live. And now, did she also ask you to repeat that back or something?
Yes.
Okay,
tell us about that. When I first got to, when I was in the accident, apparently an ambulance picked me up and took me to Prince George's a hospital, and
right.
the nurse, it was something, it was on my neck, but it was raising from my neck to my face, and it was causing me to lose my air. And so I was asking her to get this thing off of my face, and so she said, she told me that I'm injured, you know, but she said, you're badly injured, and she said, your friend is going to stay with us. And I forgot that quickly that I was in an accident with Michelle. I was just really struggling for whatever I was struggling with. You know, just struggling, I think, just to stay alive. So she said, your friend is going to stay with us. I said, oh, my God, okay. Michelle must not be hurt that bad. She's just going to stay here. And she said, but you are going to go. The helicopter's on its way. Just hang in there and take you to shock trauma. I was to be a pharmaceutical rep. And I called on University of Maryland Hospital, and I sold a drug to the trauma center called solumedrol for anaphylactic shock. That's when you're getting ready to roll up out of here. You know, your organs,
that's
you
right.
know, it's very serious to be in shock.
Absolutely.
And so,
absolutely.
So I was like, oh, my goodness. So she must have read on my face. So she said, well, I believe you're going to live. You believe you're going to live? And she said, one day I want you to walk in here and tell me how you made it. But this is what I want you to say 4 times. I want to live. So I think she was telling me that to tell myself, the spirit to talk to back to me that you can make it through this, even though you are badly broken. You know, you got to believe that you can live. Now you're going to talk to yourself about this. And so she said, well, this is my name, which I still don't remember. Walk in here one day, which I still haven't done, and tell me how you did this. And so, but my family told me that when they brought me in, when they got to shock trauma, my cousins told me that they told them that they think I'm going to make it, because when we brought it, when she was in a helicopter, and when we brought it into the surgery, she was singing.
That's right.
They said I was singing. So I was telling Tish today, I said, you know, when the way I kind of started the book, because it was hard, you know, it's hard to start books and stuff. So I was at her job one day, and one of her friends asked me about the accident, and I was telling her they said that I was singing. And so she said, Diane, did you know you were singing? I said, no. And she said, your spirit knew to sing. And I was like,
Isn't that neat?
So, yes, yeah, so your spirit, this thing, there's something within started singing. To tell me that, okay, we're gonna soothe you through this. We're gonna sing through this, and so that's how it started. That really was the first page of the book. But some of the stuff got edited and turned around. But I said that when they brought me into the emergency room, into the helicopter, they said I was singing and praying out loud.
That's right. And the book is Teachable Moments. And the book is Teachable Moments. Spirituality and Medicine. And our guest tonight is Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa. Diane, we only have a couple of minutes left. I want for you to tell people once again where they can get your book through Tate Publishing right now, and then in a couple of days they'll be able to go up on Amazon. But tell them where they can get your book right now.
You can get it at TatePublishing.com. Just Google Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine, Diane Wilson. It'll come up. You get it through Tate. And January the 5th is, it'll be on all the other distribution, Kindle, Amazon. Also, if you're in the DMV, D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, I'm going to have a book launch party on December the 12th this year. From 2 to 4 at Martha King Community Church in Columbia, Maryland on Guilford Road. If you put in Martha King Community Church on Guilford Road in Columbia, it'll come up, and it's going to be from 2 to 4, and I'll have books for sale there also. So, basically, that's where
you
can get it now.
And you can always contact us here, folks, and if you've lost anything, we can get that information for you again. Diane, one of the things that you think about this book that you've shared with us is that it is also a connecting link between the medical community and the spiritual community. And you had asked me to write a piece for this book, a healing affirmation for the medical community. Tell people right quickly what that is all about and what you wanted to accomplish with that.
Well, one of the things that Robert taught me about is affirmations, writing affirmations and speaking affirmations. And I was thinking that when I was doing the research on physicians, a lot of physicians don't ask the spiritual assessments, but there are spiritual assessments that doctors can ask patients. They've already been written by medical professionals, but they don't ask. And the reason they don't ask, they said that doctors are not, a lot of physicians and clinicians are not comfortable with their own spirituality. So I asked Robert to write an affirmation that they could say. So even if they're not comfortable saying or asking spiritual questions, they can do it with their own spirituality by reciting an affirmation or reading an affirmation before they walk into a patient's room or before they get started in the morning. And so that's what I asked Robert to write, and so he wrote one for the book.
And let me just share a few seconds of this with you because we're running out of time. An affirmation for the medical community. I am open and receptive to the free, full flow of the God force that is within me to activate itself as a healing balm and to interact with that same spirit that is within each and every patient that I see today to make whole and to bind the sick body and mind with the healing lotion of God's love, to mend broken bones and spirits with the gauze of thanksgiving and appreciation, and to apply the ointment of joy to situations and circumstances that seem hopeless to others but spiritually opportunistic to me because of my faith in the God force to guide me, direct me, instruct me, supervise me, and bring healing to those who are willing and receptive to being healed and made whole. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what this book and this woman, this book being Teachable Moments, Spirituality and Medicine, and the woman being Diane Wilson Onwuchekwa. We are so grateful that you stopped by to visit with us, Diane. We look forward to seeing you in 2016. We know it's going to be an awesome opportunity for all of us. Thank you so much. Thank you, Carrie. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for taking time from your schedules to be with us here on The No Show. We'll see you next week. Everybody take care. Love, hug somebody. Whether you know them or not, go ahead and ask them if they don't mind just getting a hug. You'll be surprised at the number of people will say yes and be so grateful that you did. This is The No Show. My name is Robert J.V. McMillan. We'll see you next week. Bye, everybody. Thank you.